Hey, what's going on, you guys? I like that intro. Makes it mellower. Now that we're about to bombard your ears with people shouting over each other and eating chips and all sorts of fun times, it's the Film Drunk Frogcast. We got the whole crew back in the frog quarters in San Francisco. I got the irregular Mr. Matt Lieb.
Hey, I'm here. Eating chips into the microphone.
Yes, he knows. I love that. And NFL Hall, future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan.
Sounds super good.
Some good audio.
I like how he leaned past the pop shield to make sure we got the crunch.
The pop shield's too far away from the microphone.
It's not working.
And also, you got to get those pops in. Yeah. That's the best part.
That's how you know your chips.
Yeah.
And that other guy you hear is Mr. Brett, the Dark Lord.
I almost didn't come back. Yeah, not because I
mean
you.
Here or just to the land of the living?
Can it be both? Not because I hate you, but you guys had a pretty good podcast last time, huh?
Well, Matt Lieb, the Christian Grey impression.
I channeled the dark side of myself.
Yeah, you want to fuck my picnic basket? Or whisper dicks into my ear or something?
I certainly did not say anything about a picnic basket. Vince mentioned the picnic basket.
I said get the brie out of the ice chest.
Yes, that's right. That's what you said.
We got an email on that subject, which I might as well jump into right now. From Wakas. All my girlfriend and I have been doing since last week's Frotcast is yelling shit like, "Yeah, you like my soft breath on the nape of your neck, you filthy slut. I'll bet you do." Sorry. Clicked into a new song.
Let's do all Perigrip from now on.
Oh, bet.
Just playing in the just ambient noise.
Just
Perigrip.
A bed of Perry.
Best Valentine's ever. Bravo.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Of course, no one said anything about the nape of a neck.
Yeah.
If you're gonna quote it,
you did butterfly kisses.
I did do butterfly kisses.
I think he was riffing.
Yeah.
You think he was just riffing?
I think he was riffing.
Well, we can't all just riff. There are riffers.
What are you gonna do about it?
And there are quoters.
It would be chaos.
Yeah. No, that's really cute. I was actually doing that to my girlfriend as well for Valentine's Day weekend.
Did you spend Valentine's Day on Snuggly Rock?
No, we moved Snuggly Rock over to Santa Cruz.
Snuggly Rock is relocated?
Yeah, it's relocated.
We didn't land on Snuggly Rock. Snuggly Rock landed on us.
Yeah, so we were in King's Landing in Santa Cruz. And I was doing the same thing to her. You know, I was telling her, you know, how I was going to give her butterfly kisses, you know.
Yeah.
And mostly I was just trying to explain the joke to her.
It's really hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's hard to do, especially when I had to, like, stop myself and go, well, you know, Vince seemed to like it a lot. It was cool.
I did. I don't think I've ever, like, covered my face and had to hide underneath the table while you were doing a bit.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
And I wish my girlfriend thought it was funny, but it's cool.
I wish Vince was there on Valentine's Day.
Honestly. No, actually, it was great. Me and Roxanne, we got away. We went to Santa Cruz. We went hiking at UC Santa Cruz, my alma mater.
Mm.
And I showed her all the places that I lived when I was on campus. I think I did give her a little bit of a heroin tour, too. Yeah. So I was just like, this whole place is just filled with my blood. It was cool. I went to the boardwalk, played mini golf.
That sounds cool.
We fucked.
Fuck my pussy.
The whole time she was screaming, fuck my pussy. It was great. And we also listened to other people fuck in the shittiest motel ever.
Nice.
Like the walls were hella thin. And so we were like in surround sound. Everyone's fucking around us. Eventually we started fucking too. So the hot sounds of other people fucking. But we got scared that what if they were gross looking, you know?
Yeah. You don't want that. I went to Rhode Island in the off season one time.
Oh, what do you mean the off season?
Like, so there's a
like
there towns
when you weren't playing in the NBA. What do you mean?
So there are towns that cater to the summer crowd. Mm. And I think we were visiting Vince in New York like 5 years ago. And so it was probably fall, winter, early winter. And so there's no one in any of these places. Like, I'd never been to the East Coast before, so we did a tour. And so we went to this hotel on like a little island Like you drove across a long bridge to just get to the small island that just has the hotel. And there's,
well, it's like Cape Cod, right? Where like no one's there in the winter.
Yeah. And so like the people that live there all kind of like hibernate until the next tourist season rolls around. And so we showed up in the middle of like non-tourist season. And so we get to this hotel and there's like two other cars in the parking lot. And it's like skeleton crew in the hotel. Like there's nobody at the desk. Like you can tell that they're all doing like three jobs to keep it going. And so it's super fucking creepy because the fog rolls in and it's just like straight up shining ghost hotel. And so we don't see anyone the whole time. And like we go in, all the restaurants close at like 5. And the room above us somehow in this ghost hotel has people fucking super loud.
Nice.
And just like, I don't know if it was one dude rocking out to some porno, because this was some very loud fucking.
They were ghost busting up there.
Yeah.
But could you hear
someone ghost busting nuts?
Look, my ghost pussy! My spooky, spooky asshole!
This story does involve people fucking, but.
Spooch!
I went to a wedding one time out in the Berkshires, which is like Western Massachusetts. It's like where Massachusetts.
Oh, I see. Everybody's got a New England story but me.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's where the border of Massachusetts hits New York. So if you just went due west, it'd be like Albany. So it's out there. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was one of those places where like, you know, the robber barons went and had their summers.
Yeah.
And so we stayed, it's a small town, so we stayed in this bed and breakfast, and there was like a little brochure about the parade that was happening, and it turns out the parade was
damn
for like
fine bed and breakfast you got here, hardly any Negroes.
Yeah, the parade, well, the parade was kind of like that. The parade was for the people who summer there to like wave goodbye to like the people who live there year round.
Sure.
Who are basically servants.
Yeah.
And so they like still have this
parade. Sorry, you're trapped here.
Yeah, exactly. Bon voyage! See you next summer! Which that always struck me as very funny, where it's like no one ever just said like, hey, this probably isn't good. We probably shouldn't do this anymore.
I hate this parade.
Yeah, this parade sucks.
Did you hear anyone fuck while you were there?
No, I already said this story doesn't involve people fucking.
I just was hoping maybe it did.
There was a ghost raping his slave.
Oh, come on. Oh. But yeah, that was both a slave joke and a rape joke.
That's true. That's why I strive for.
Yeah,
trying to get that NPR, trying to get NPR to pick up this show.
We're trying to get that fucking NPR money
any day now.
I realized in hearing other people fuck that I am. Really?
You also like to fuck?
No, yeah. That,
gotta give me a slice of that pie.
No, I realized that I do a majority of the noises in bed. Because, like, you hear the girls, you know, it's like you hear the... But you never hear them. You never hear like fuck yeah, fuck that pussy, yeah, daddy, fuck that pussy. You know, which is like what I say.
Are you making those sounds too? Is this you making the?
Yeah.
It's all you.
It's all me.
Do you just narrate what you're doing? Like, oh yeah, I'm definitely fucking you right now.
I try and go really psychological.
Yeah, you like it when I wheeze into your neck meat.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like. I tell her that, yeah, you like it when, you know, that's definitely how I start.
So you're narrating the second person.
Yeah.
It's like an instruction manual for being fucked by Matt Lieb.
I do narrate in the second person. I do call it, suck that dick and not so much my dick.
It's more of like a song. It's like the amorphous you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's like a Linkin Park six.
Like an IKEA instruction set with a little Allen wrench. That's for your butt.
Yeah.
That's going to go right in the butt.
But I just realized that. Like, you know, if they were to listen to us, they would mostly hear me just going, ah, yay, fucking like it. Yay, fucking take that fucking dick. Like, it's not as hot as you think. I realize that most porn doesn't have men saying many things except for like the occasional, like, you know, the shut up that mouth guy. And whatnot. Yeah. Like,
well, they used to cut to the guy, like his face of pleasure.
Oh, and I hate
guys,
that.
And guys were like, could you please not make me look at a guy in pleasure while I'm coming?
Yeah. Right. When you come, you always see their face like, oh yeah. Like, no, I'm coming to it. And then he looks directly at the camera and goes, you're gay.
Oh, now I'm gay. Oh, can I do it?
You're gay now.
Seven gays.
You will die in seven gays. That's
fun. No, just seven gays and then like seven dudes walk in the room. Like,
yeah, and, and then they gaze at you.
It's like the Krampus. It's the 6 to 8 black men of porn.
Oh,
where was
man.
That? Was that in? Was that? That was Dutch, right? They had the. They have Santa if you're good, and then 6 to 8 black men if you're bad.
It's different. It's different. They have like the. It's. I don't know.
Krampus? No, it's that's like
it's similar.
He's like the Santa for naughty like kids.
Bad Santa. He's like
He's black Santa.
He's black
Santa. And there's 6 to 8 of them.
Yeah. There's more than one Krampus.
Well, it's not Krampus. It's a different. I forget what it's called. I'm sure we'll get 10 emails about
something
it.
Something like Jolly Tom or something. It's got like a weird.
Black
Steve. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's like a Swedish or a Swiss thing.
Stop Krampus my and style.
And the pictures come out, and they're like, "Can you stop doing the blackface?" And they're like, "No, it's tradition."
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Europe's weird, man.
What'd you do for Valentine's Day, Vince?
My friend TJ came up and we went. And,
is TJ a girl?
No, he's a guy. Oh. We went and drank beers.
My girlfriend's sister is now single.
Oh.
Remember I was telling you about that?
You were supposed to tell me about this off air? Because now everybody's going to try and track her down and probably like... Send her poop pics that I sent them of my own poops to embarrass me. It's because it's what people do.
Right, well, then
don't hack me. Do not dox my poop pics.
Did you get doxed?
Oh, it's got the location tag on all your poop pics. This little red arrow floating above.
No!
They're Snapchats. Welcome to Berlin.
Everyone knows where I poop.
So I did want to get to a couple topics. Number one.
Fucking love topics.
Jack White's guacamole letter.
Read it.
I don't know if you got, did you guys get to read this?
No, I heard that they swiped his guac.
Well, someone posted his writer, which apparently has a guac recipe in it.
Right.
As writers do. And then he got
so
real mad.
Does he want just the individual ingredients for the guac? Or
ingredients.
He's going to make it himself? I like that. That's a can-do attitude that you don't see in a lot of rock stars.
But...
He explains it in his letter. Mm-hmm. He wrote an open letter a few days later. For God's sakes, in all caps, and then the rest of it is almost all lowercase. Dear journalists and other people looking for drama or a diva, even in the age of the short attention span internet article, it's still hard to believe you are still writing about this. Wow, classy. Seems like there's a new number one rule for up-and-coming journalists. Don't let the facts get in the way of clickbait. At the risk of incurring even more of this hoo-ha, and I've definitely turned my cheek more than once lately, and even through our management, and even though our management sent out a letter to clarify this, and since this seems to be all anyone can ask me about lately, here's the real deal, and hopefully it'll explain this nonsensical scenario and we can move on with our lives, or what have you. First off, this is none of your business, but I have no specific demands in my dressing room. I know I could ask for lots of things, but I actually don't ask for anything. I take with me what I need, and that ain't much. Anything on the writer is for the band and the crew. This guacamole recipe is my hilarious tour manager's inside joke with the local promoters. It's his recipe, not mine. It's just something to break up the boredom, seeing who can make it best. Though I wouldn't know because I've never had it. I can't even make Kool-Aid, let alone cook any real food enough to have a recipe. Sorry, I don't have that talent. It seems odd to brag about being helpless.
Well, he's not bragging about
it. I liked him better when he made his guacamole. I don't like this Jack White.
You mean this Jack White who doesn't even know how to make
guacamole? Like he can't even conceptualize the idea of guacamole. He's just like, I don't even know what that is.
That's
that stuff.
The thing about guacamole is there's no wrong recipe for guacamole. Yeah, it's always good.
I fucked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you put like bananas in there or something?
No.
Do that. You could put bananas in there and make it okay. A little plantain in there.
No, first of all, no one told me take the skin off, take the pit out.
Wow!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You just try to hit them together?
None of this happened. Obviously, none of this happened.
It's just Matt Lieb with an avocado and a fork just crying.
The wrong way to make an to make guacamole is just me holding an avocado and screaming at it. I don't use lime juice. I use my tears.
That would work. That's like the perfect. You want a little saline in there?
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. Salt and your tears with a little water. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it'd be nice dressing.
You're right. There is no wrong way to make guacamole.
One day, some fantasy journalist out there will call someone in the biz and actually have a writer explain to them. Maybe none of them have ever been on tour. Oh, well, let's move on.
Does he call it the biz?
Yes, the biz. First Amendment issues. I fully believe in the freedom of the press.
Wait, how long?
You know,
is
this is going to be a good prefacing device, right?
Oh, where is he going to go with this?
I fully believe in the freedom of the press, though the supposed search for truth from the press requires microscopes and some Morton salt.
What is happening
right now? Wait, did you just talk about Morton salt?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. That's the salt I don't like.
Yeah, because it's got iodine in there. Yeah.
He'd mentioned that before.
And I also defend...
Oh, were we not recording?
We were off there.
We were saying you didn't like... You only drink the salt from the sea.
Oh, yeah. You only drink the salt from the sea. All right, go ahead.
And I also defend anyone's right to free speech. Just look at my lack of respect for grammar in this letter and tell me I'm not for
communicating. What the fuck is happening here? He's just like, he was talking about guacamole and then fell into his own asshole accidentally.
So I wonder like if music is kind of like stream of consciousness when you write a song that you just eventually get to the point where you think you just always just free associate and that's how you talk to people.
Yeah, this letter is written in jazz.
It's the sense he's not making.
And I defend the right to free information in regards to public funds. But never in my 20 years...
Is this going to involve the NSA? Is it suddenly going to get really like, look, I know the satellites are there.
Investigate 9/11.
Do you think Jack White thinks... like newspapers or like government sponsored?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to tell. They get really mad at journalists for thinking that musicians are like this monolithic group, and then they're like, "If only journalists!" And it's like this giant,
Yeah, all journalists.
Yeah.
Didn't you ever see Almost Famous? Rock journalists are the enemy, bro.
That is true. That it should be the relationship between everyone and everyone else. Yeah. We should all hate each other.
Everyone should fight all the time.
Yes, especially during sex. But never in my 20 years of playing shows has my contract and tour writer been published in a paper that I recall. Do you know why we don't do that or want that? 100 articles about bananas, free speech, and guacamole is why. It's because people...
Oh, well, look who's deciding to be part of the problem instead of part of the solution.
He just listed the things he was bringing up in his letter.
Yeah. It's because people don't understand what a writer is or what the terms of a contract are. They're out of their element. And you can't blame them for it. And people who
you don't understand lists of things. You're too dumb. I can't make guacamole. It's literally the easiest thing to make. You just smush an avocado at the end.
And people who write about that know this. People want a writer to be a list of demands that a diva insists occur lest he or she refuse to play a note of music. But in reality, it's just some food and drinks backstage for the 100 workers and guests who have to live in a concrete bunker for 15 hours.
He's got to stop Googling his name. Then he won't read any of the criticism because I haven't heard
shit. I don't think this is helping.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even know about this until he wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Some people bring their own living rooms on tour. Some people ask for a huge spread. Who cares? What you're looking for is someone throwing a tantrum because they didn't get their brown M&Ms. Sorry to disappoint.
The nightmare has become his reality. He is everything he hates.
Yeah. It's happened.
Someone printed that I'm never going to Oklahoma again. Not true. I love Oklahoma. That's why I booked this show instead of playing Chicago or Atlanta for four times as much money. Ask around in Tulsa. I've been there at least 3 times on these last 2 albums.
Ask around. Hey! What does Jack White think of this place? Oh, this thing's pretty good, actually.
Have you tried his guacamole?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Oh. Glad you asked around about it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to cross the street now.
Yeah. Oh, no, a train.
Ding, 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 ding. This is a Prairie Home Companion shit right here.
I've been Garrison Keillor. Oh, no, a train.
Then aliens land and they get out. Meep, morp, we are from the planet Zarkson.
Are we Yes Andy?
Hell yeah, that was a goddamn masterpiece of Yes Andy. See, this is how you eventually get all movies, set in space. It's like you're just brainstorming and suddenly there's fucking aliens. I think this is how Jupiter Ascending got made.
He just blue skied right into space.
Yeah, so, suddenly he goes right to space. There's bees that can recognize royalty. All sorts of shit's going on.
Wait, hold up.
What? You weren't here for our discussion about that.
No, I must have. Were the bees Because of the queen?
Yes, yes, yes. No, she goes. What? She goes to this farmhouse where the other like intergalactic police officer lives, and the house. He's like a beekeeper, and she's like, "Why do you have all these bees?" And he's like, "Well, bees are the only animal that can recognize royalty."
What the fuck?
And then she can control bees. A power that she never uses for the entire rest of the movie.
Oh, she never uses the power.
No. I thought, like, and then, of course, there it's used as a deus ex machina at the very end. She's like, oh, no, how do I defeat this evil Macaulay Culkin? Oh, he's allergic to bees, and then kills.
No, it's like a... It's like
the Macaulay Culkin your MacGuffin?
Yeah, well, no.
It's my from My Girl.
No, yeah, from My Girl.
Is it McCulkin?
It's a, no, it never, McCulkin, it never,
not
it never
how
comes.
How can I defeat this My Girl McCulkin? I'll use the bees.
Yeah. Open up the briefcase. It's Macaulay Culkin.
Deus ex machina.
It's called a McCulkin.
No.
I said Deus ex machina.
I wish it was a Deus ex machina. It's actually just a cautionary tale about Chekhov's bees, where it's like he introduces them in the first act, and then the bees are just still there in the third act doing nothing except there. Making honey.
That's so when, strange.
Which, you know, I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
How do they keep making, like, they keep giving them money to make movies, and I think that's amazing.
Not anymore.
This is it, right?
This is it. They spent Hollywood, like 100.
Did it completely bomb?
They spent $175 million on it, and it opened to, like, $20
million.
Oh. Those the wrong numbers.
That sounds bad.
Yeah.
Ari Gold like a, would be flipping
Are they making,
out.
Like, a merchandise push?
I don't know.
What is the merchandise for that movie? Just a bunch of like weird Channing Tatum ears and
Burt's Bees. They did a partnership.
Burt's Bees.
It doesn't seem like they made anything like lovable enough. Like you're not going to sell any plush toys out of that movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Although I would absolutely buy a Channing Tatum albino space wolf plush toy.
What about an Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce his name?
Redmayne, I think.
It is Redmayne, yeah.
You squeeze him and he whispers.
Yeah.
Find her. Did you guys all see that movie?
I didn't see it. I just heard him talk about it last time.
I did not see it.
I talked about it very evocatively, and it felt like Matt was
I feel like I've seen it a little bit now.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we did the thing we said we weren't going to do and totally derailed
Jack
White letter.
We weren't going to talk over each other.
Yeah, we did that, too.
Yeah, we did that, yeah.
Okay. That's how we derailed it, by talking over each other.
Our booking agent warned the college that other artists might not book shows there. Of course they did. It's bad business. What the school paper did and really rude.
This is not English.
Of course they are going to tell them to wise up. Am I pissed at the students at Oklahoma University? Absolutely not. Am I disappointed in young journalists at their school paper? Absolutely, but I forgive them. They're young and have learned their lesson about truth and ethics, hopefully.
Baby journalists on blast.
All they have to do is Google this to know it's not worth it. Look for real problems instead next time. Look for the truth, not fake drama.
Just Googling fake drama? Oh, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Guess I better go back to journalism school and learn my lessons.
There's a lot more, but I'm not going to read all of it because it gets even less sensical.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Why not just say, like, yeah, my guacamole is fucking awesome, and then conclude the whole thing.
Jack White's guacamole brings all the boys to the shows. I hate myself.
I just don't know how to make guacamole.
Oh, no.
SNL 40, anybody?
Nope.
I didn't watch
it. I watched it.
Yeah, I watched a couple things online afterwards.
I was surprised at all the feelings I felt.
Really?
Yeah, I was...
I feel like their feelings gets in the way of them making a comedy show now.
It wasn't... I didn't feel like it was overly self-congratulatory. And I was... I generally, you know, got a little misty for a couple parts with, like, Chris Farley and Phil Hartman.
Sure.
I mean, I enjoyed it. It was fucking 3.5 hours. So.
Of course, because it's got to be. It's kind of like this fest, the Chinese New Year thing I went to in Chinatown over the weekend, where it's like, what does Chinatown have normally? Oh, it's got like, you know, people shopping for produce and people throwing those little poppers around.
Yeah, sure.
Like, so what does the special celebration have? More people selling produce.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Saturday Night Live. So it's usually too long. Now it's really too long.
Yeah, it's usually pretty hit or miss. Now it's really hit or
right.
miss. But
I didn't want to see it because I knew they were going to do shit like have Sarah Palin come on. And it's like,
well,
I liked Lindy. Did you see Lindy's piece about it? Where it's like, you're not supposed to have, when you're doing comedy for the purpose of actually, trying to tear someone down, which is what that bit was supposed to do and was good at it, you don't get to like have them come on the show and high five you for it. Like, that's
she's not really that person. Like, Sarah Palin isn't actually Sarah Palin, the presidential candidate. Sarah Palin is a sketch unto herself.
Yes, I agree.
And so she's like, whatever, I wasn't actually that person, so here I am not being the person I am right now.
And and I kind of feel like, I think that's more on Sarah Palin to not show up and go, no, fuck you. You guys are just make fun of me and whatnot.
Why would you invite her on?
Because everyone's
Invite her on because, hey, you want to be a part of this joke? The joke's on you. We are going to make fun of you, but as long as you're okay with that. Then...
No, but then they get to make her look like a good sport all of a sudden.
She's been a good sport. I don't think it's a problem that she's a good sport. I just think...
you shouldn't be complicit in making her look like a good sport, though.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but she's... You know,
it's very, very forgiving to assume that the goal of the Sarah Palin sketch was to influence politics. Like, the goal is to get people to watch, and it just happens.
Sure,
that's a big leap of faith to say that Saturday Night Live was trying to do good.
But they could at least make it look like that.
Yeah,
it's bad politicking on their part.
I mean, and I think Tina Fey is pretty outspoken about where she stands politically. So, I mean, she was kind of. I think she saw it as an opportunity. Right. I would guess if you asked her about it, she'd be pissed about it.
In her book, she said she was very conflicted about having Sarah Palin on the show to do the you know I forget what they call it, like the turnaround moment where you turn around and the real person's there. Blah blah blah.
Oh, she was conflicted because she is so vehemently anti Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean...
For the exact reasons that I don't like it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why having her on would be kind of, I guess, a hot-button issue for some people. But really, at this point, she's not in any real danger. No one's in any danger of her actually running or her actually gaining any more political traction, I feel like.
Yeah, but
I feel
she
like
still she's influences kind of idiots.
She's an inert gas. No, I mean, she's... She influences the same idiots who'd be influenced by, I think, anyone who felt those views. Like, anyone who panders in that direction will be influenced by her.
It's not like we had a Terminator, the governor of California, for two terms or anything. Like, it's not like you went back in time.
All right.
Yeah. Never underestimate the voting populace.
It's not like you punched through a guy's stomach and then while he's naked and then... I think that's how it went.
The jacket, right? Didn't he punch? Didn't he want the jack? It was the first he punched through Paxton?
Yeah, well, it's like the gang, and they're like it's like the hoodlums. Yeah. Their hoodlums don't exist anymore.
Hoodlums
existed from 1972 to 1991.
Yeah, right. Then they as soon as the
hoodlum
the Terminators
out.
Took them out.
Yeah. As soon as like the boombox went out of style, that was it. You know, there was no more punk rockers or hoodlums with ghetto blasters, and they said, I guess the streets are safe now. I think the Ninja Turtles actually helped wipe them out. Mm-hmm. So that's fine.
But it's like Comedy Central's doing a Justin Bieber roast now.
Right.
And you're like, what? Well, that's not who you're supposed to roast.
God, you're just subscribing to the conceit. And it's...
Roasts are different.
Yeah,
it's roasting a whoopee cushion.
Yeah, but you were...
He's already a fart noise. Why do you need to make... Fart noises out of fart noise. Now you just have more farts.
Yeah.
No, but I think
You were holding the fart up on a pedestal. The original fart. Fart number one.
Don't put the fart on a pedestal.
You had a fart on a pedestal and you're like,
there was no fart.
This fart is sacred. Don't fart around. And then they were like,
I feel like
they played the first few notes of the riff from Lowrider.
I don't like to talk about my kid.
Day bow bow.
I'm gonna say this. If you fart noise at him, he'll fart noise back at you.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Oh, I'm gonna abuse that power so much if a woman ever lets me impregnate her.
That was the first time I've ever seen like a light in your eyes when you just talked about your child's fart noises.
And he gets a kick out of it too. He's just like, hey, we're fart noising together.
Maybe fatherhood is a good thing.
As far as SNL 40 goes, the two best parts were, one, they did like a tribute to Tracy Morgan and had like a big monologue leading up, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Morgan, and they like roll the clip, and it's just a Brian Fellows sketch, and Jimmy Fallon is talking about a parrot, And then he just goes, "That bird is a liar." And then it just cuts to commercial.
Yeah, right. That's it. You've like, kind of figured out like a nice montage, maybe yeah, that, and a few more like characters. A
5-minute clip.
But it was just him going, that bird is a liar.
That bird is a liar.
I'm Brian Fellow.
Yeah. And then also the commitment to the joke of John Lovitz being dead.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
That was great. Because they mentioned it multiple times throughout the show.
Oh, did they do it? I only saw it at the
but the show was section. Long enough that by they did In Memoriam was like the second to last thing they did. Mm-hmm. So by the time they got to In Memoriam, I was actually shedding real tears for Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like John Lovitz. And then it dissolves to him sitting in the audience.
And he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, that was great. So was Dennis Miller just not there? Everyone was talking about how Dennis Miller was surprisingly absent, or what?
I feel like he was never that. He like did Weekend Update, and he wasn't that good at it. Like Norm Macdonald was way better. He never did any other sketches.
But it's the other way around, I think, in the memories of people. Like people liked Dennis Miller. People did not like Norm Macdonald.
Who didn't? Man. Give me their names.
I love Norm.
Pretty much everyone didn't like
what?
Norm
Macdonald. I watched the moth. I watched the moth joke. I shared it on Facebook for probably the fifth time in my life.
It's still last good week, every time.
Every time I watch it, I'm just fucking. I mean, I'm like, I'm rolling. I'm laughing hard.
Hey, you got any gum?
Hey, do you ever watch his web series? Is oh my god, he has a section where they just do Norm jokes, and one of them. One of them was read by Billy Bob Thornton, and with the Norm joke is, you know, I really like being a lone wolf, except during the wolf picnics when I need a partner for the wolf wheelbarrow race.
But how could you underdeliver to the level that Norm underdelivers?
No, I know, I know. That's
all of his jokes end with, yeah. Like he's kind of like, hey, you know, like,
right. Good time, rather.
It's almost like he's going, so there's that one after every joke. Yeah. That's so funny. He's amazing. And he's so good. But I don't think people liked him as the. I mean, I don't remember. Maybe I'm thinking of like NBC all my middle school like friends. Like I'm thinking everyone was like, I don't get Norm Macdonald.
I loved it, just like the deadpan, you know.
And Weekend Update is the perfect place to let a joke fall to the floor.
Yeah. That was the thing, though.
And he was fearless about it.
He would bomb a lot on that show. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. Him and Colin Quinn. Although
I always thought that Norm's bombs were funny.
Yeah. I thought that was the shtick. Is that he'll. Under like he won't give any crest to the punchline and just let it.
Yeah,
yeah. There but it was just real dry. He was that was his thing. Was like, he's I'm like, gonna be as dry as possible.
He was like astronaut. I wish I remember the guy's name is Rod something. Astronaut Rod something or other is planning to make mankind's first parachute jump from space. In future news, Rod something or other is dead. Just like the simplest jokes that are so good.
Yeah,
there was a E. coli breakout over some ice cream. I forget what ice cream brand. And the spokespeople say they're not sure which flavor caused the outbreak: the chocolate, the vanilla, or the uncooked pork swirl.
Do you get to write your own stuff if you're doing Weekend Update? Is that like a little writer unto itself?
Probably.
They have a bunch of people writing for it. But
Do you get final approval since you're on the hook for that?
You might.
I think you get a big hand in it, but I don't think you get final approval.
You definitely can write your own jokes. Or at least when Norm was doing it, he would. Because
they were very Norm.
Faye did too.
He talked about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's their main. They're definitely the main writer of that sketch.
He got fired because didn't he get fired because OJ was a former NBC employee and one of the higher ups was close to them or something like that?
That's what I heard.
It was a part of it.
But is that true?
Supposedly, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah, something or other.
Yeah.
We got to get our guest on the bloop line.
Who's our guest?
We have a guest?
We have a guest. It's Brian Abrams. He wrote this book, How to Party Like a President. Nice. And he also saw the movie that we all watched, except for Brendan.
Oh, I didn't watch it either. So
that's good. I'm glad we're having him on.
So wait, did he make that movie, Wetlands?
No.
Okay, good.
He's not German.
Okay, I don't know.
We would never.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It is, yeah. That's...
Except for German frat cast listeners.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
You already ruined my show by saying hello at the same time that I said hello.
Okay, bye.
Aw. I'm just kidding.
Who's here?
Everybody.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
This is Brian Abrams, everybody.
Hey, hey Brian.
Hello. Hey. I don't know who's on the show anymore.
It's Matt and Brett and Brendan tonight.
Oh, some of the old guys.
Yeah.
Well, you got new guys?
I'm the new guy.
You're the new guy?
Yeah. Wow. I've only been doing this for like...
Should have been hazing you.
2 years.
Brett and I were on show number one. Yeah!
Bam! What did we watch? Probably nothing.
The A-Team.
Oh, I didn't watch that movie.
I think I did it once in 2012. And then like...
How were you? Did you suck?
And then back in 2014. Yeah, I think I was bad in 2012. Like the first time I did it. Anyways, hey! Hey, Brian! Hey.
So your book, is it? I just got it. Is it out yet?
Yeah, it came out last week, and I've been doing a lot of radio interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing like this where it's actually just people talking like people.
Right. So let me – okay, so the book is called Party Like a President.
Yeah, Brian Abramson. Brian's got the book Party Like a President. Brian!
Sorry.
Party Like a President, True Tales of Inebriation, Lechery, and Mischief from the Oval Office. And you did use an Oxford comma in the title, which I appreciate.
Good, good. Glad you noticed.
Yeah. But okay, so let me see if I can guess how it went with the radio interviews. They're like, hey, we think we're going to blah, blah, blah. What do you think you could contribute? And then you send like an email. You're like, I don't know. I could talk about such and such. And then they get you on and they basically just read verbatim whatever you wrote in the email.
Kind of. I mean, I had a publicist set up all the radio interviews and like, they just want someone to riff for 10 minutes. That's all they need. Like, you could be on there. They'll say, like, the stupidest shit just to, like, prompt you to just do your infomercial, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that's, you know, not – I'm not trying to trash all of them. Some of them were, like, very nice. And,
yeah, some radio's cool.
Well, some people – they were just nice guys, but you just knew that they just needed you to help fill airtime. But then there was a percentage of them that were just, like, very much – this kind of right-wingy, so what do we don't know about Obama?
So like, what well, don't we know, though?
Well, he actually I found out that he sat his daughters down and makes them stare at him while he shoots heroin in his balls.
That is partying.
Yeah.
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 That's how I've always dreamed of partying.
I love how all of his other veins don't work. Yeah. So he has to shoot it into his ball.
Yeah, Matt's thought the logistics of this out.
Yeah, I was like, well, I could see that. Like, you know, after a while, those veins, they get hard, and then they start rolling a lot. So you really got to find a good vein, you know? So do you ever do heroin, Brian?
No, I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Actually. When you're a guest on the radio, you're sort of like a mannequin with a funny hat, and the host can kind of like walk over to the hat and put it on and dance around kind of thing, right?
Do you keep the hat?
And they laugh at everything you say.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. There's a fake laugh that goes into radio.
And you find yourself laughing with them with shit they say, and you're like, why did I just laugh? There's nothing. None of the shit we're saying is funny at all.
You feel pressure.
It's a social hack.
We're all so nervous!
Yeah.
Wait, do you have a fake laugh?
My
oh god, that was
I turn into a pig.
It's like the scene from Willow.
Kill me! Kill me!
On the air, I usually just asking the people to kill me.
So, Brian, I always thought that Teddy Roosevelt would be like an awesome dude to party with because he would like box people and wrestle them and make them run through his yard, but he didn't really drink. So I mean, did that take away from him being an awesome party animal?
I mean, I'm not like bummed out about it personally. I guess
he let me down.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I think he's still like a very macho role model type or whatever. But he just drank a shitload of coffee and killed animals. I don't really think he like got drunk or did anything crazy. And I don't know about the heroin and the balls with him either. But
well, that was just medicine back then.
Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly.
Bayer made it.
They didn't know in the 1910s. They didn't know that heroin in the balls was a way of getting high. That was just like how they got their nutrition.
Right. Yeah, it just made you feel better. It helped you wake up in the morning. Help you go to sleep at night.
They didn't have kale yet. That's where they got like a lot of vitamins.
Yeah, they needed the super fruits and super
super foods.
Acai balls.
Yeah.
So, acai balls. So JFK, was there anybody that was like better at partying than JFK? Because he had like orgies with mobsters and stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's like he probably
good yes and man. Thanks, bro.
None of this is in the book or confirmed, but yeah, I think he had orgies with like with a lot of mobsters. That sounds pretty accurate.
Hey, that goes over there. Yeah.
No, he did.
I'm gonna put my penis right. Oh, no, I can't do it. Put it right in her vagina. Does that sound right?
No, there was that book Havana Nocturne about Cuba, the mob in Cuba, and I think they talked about a JFK orgy in there.
That's so dope.
But don't buy that book. Buy Brian's book.
That book sucks. You don't want. That's not accurate at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, were there any things that you wanted to put in there, but you couldn't because there was like a rights issue, or you're like you're worried about it being libel or anything like that?
Follow up question: please enumerate them here.
Yes.
Yeah. No. There were a couple things that I couldn't put in, but not because I was worried about getting sued, because I cite everything pretty thoroughly in the book, even though it's like full of pictures and it looks like it's done by, you know, a fifth grader on some level. Like, I'm not like, there's no one's going to sue me. I'm like, look, I'm just telling you what I read out of this book. My editor, there were a couple chapters. My editor was like, no, this isn't going to work. And, I wrote like a lot of shitty things about Ronald Reagan. And she's like, Brian, like you don't understand. Like, we got to sell books here. You can't be doing this. And so I had to calm that down a little bit. And then for the Clinton chapter, she was just like, can we take this down like four notches? Cause I mean, I guess there were too many vagina references and penis references in it. Just because there's just so much on public record from that sexual harassment suit.
Oh,
in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can just post it on your site if you want, like all the good stuff.
I would like the post to be called 11 ways that Bill Clinton loved vagina, and number 10 will shock you.
But yeah, and I needed to be a little more BuzzFeedy. You got to get a little more peppy. Like, what's a more inspirational headline?
Oh, I forgot when George H.W. Puked on the Prime Minister of Japan.
Oh yeah, that's
that was great.
That was pretty dope. Now, did he do that because he was drunk or because he was sick?
Heroin.
Too much in his balls. Hey, you remember that time that his son was talking about the new animal-human hybrids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I brought that up, and people were like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, he explicitly forbid animal-human hybrids in a State of the Union.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. I swear to fucking God.
Jason Dove talked about it.
Yeah, Jason remembered, yeah.
Well, wait.
You guys weren't on
he
my
specifically
side. He was like, and another thing.
Forbade.
Yeah, we're not going to do animal-human hybrids.
What did people give that a standing ovation, or was this pre-9/11?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
The Democrats had to sit down and cross their arms across their chest. They're like, screw this guy.
Fuck that. We're doing it.
I'm going to breed so many humansies.
No, going against God.
What was your favorite?
Didn't we watch a video from Conspiracy Theory? I think we watched a video from Conspiracy Theory on this.
What was your favorite story of presidential partying that you came across?
I think the Chester A. Arthur story is kind of my favorite. And I mean, not because like there's something about him like barfing and falling down the stairs or like nicknaming his penis or anything like that. Although, I mean, that stuff's in there, but like, see, now I'm like trying to do like a more rolled back version of what I would be on the radio, because you're actually just asking a question.
I was trying to be nice.
No, I know.
I like how you feel pressure to not even plug your book right now.
Okay, you're right. So I liked Arthur because like he was known as this big procrastinator. Like even at a time when like procrastination wasn't considered necessarily like a political maneuver, or if it was, it wasn't like popularly known as that, because he had like 4 and 5 hour work days. He worked from like 10 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he would carry around a basket of papers just to make him look busy.
This is the age before folders.
He sounds like fucking Larry David. The basket of papers.
Yeah, no, he's like Costanza.
Basically. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That was my favorite. I think that was it. And And then the Kennedy threesomes with the mob.
Is it true that Ronald Reagan had a briefcase that was just filled with salt and vinegar potato chips when he opened it up?
I didn't find that source anywhere, actually. Yeah. I'll get back and look on that.
We got some websites you should read.
It was handcuffed to his wrist, so it made him look really important. Like, it had the nuclear codes in it, but then he would just open it up, fucking potato chips
in there. Sounds coming out from behind it.
That makes sense.
I gotta call NORAD up here.
I gotta calibrate these codes.
Football's in my mouth.
What's one of the Reagan things that you had to cut out, though?
About how there was this National Enquirer writer, Kitty Kelly, and she had this unauthorized biography of Nancy Reagan in 91, and it was highly contested, and in it she interviewed like some of Nancy's staff who told her that basically whenever Reagan would leave Washington on business, that like Frank Sinatra would come to the White House and long dick his wife.
Frankie's the backdoor man.
Yeah.
But it's also like the biographies I ran across where Sinatra like talked shit about Reagan because they both were in Hollywood at the same time.
Sure.
And he thought he was just like a lame fuddy duddy kind of, you know, this really square guy. And yeah, so like the staff would talk about, they told Kitty Kelly how like, you know, she would put on Sinatra music blaring upstairs and they wouldn't be bothered for like 4 hours for like a quote lunch.
Damn.
Well, it's weird because the Reagans were, I mean, they're thought of as like these conservative icons, which they kind of were, but they were also like dippy Hollywood people. Like she had like a staff astrologist and shit.
Yeah, well, I just kind of stopped at the long dicking. I didn't really get into the Hollywood stuff too much.
Well,
sorry.
No one wants to care. No one wants to read about anything else but long dicking when that's going on.
Yeah, that's true. I don't care about astrology when you're talking about Frankie Blue Eyes fucking the shit out of the first lady.
Your horoscope is getting long dicked.
Oh, that's so great.
I see Libra is rising in the next month, which means Frank Sinatra's cum will be in your hair.
Yeah.
Just say no, baby, and see what happens.
I like watching the old clips of Reagan's movies because, like, one of the famous clips is, like, there's a woman and she's kind of freaking out and he's like, I'll handle this. And he walks over and just, like, cracks her right across the face, and it's like a slapstick moment where it's like, ah, what a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that. He just slaps the shit out of a lady. Yeah. That was like...
I mean, it's kind of a trope in old movies, like the hysterical woman and the guy just smokes her in the face and like throws her over the shoulder. God. And then she like thanks him later. Like,
yeah, it's like America.
Sorry, I got the vapors.
The lady is America.
Yeah, like Jimmy Carter was president, and Reagan was like, oh, this hysterical guy's wearing a sweater. I'm going to go slap him across the face, teach him how to be a man.
Yeah, this peanut farmer needs to get hit over the head with a club.
Wait, did he really slap Carter? No, that's not real.
Metaphorically.
Okay, all right, because I was thinking to myself, I was like, holy shit, I need to see that video.
No, like Carter was sort of the post-Watergate era, and he wore sweaters, and he stopped playing Hail to the Chief when he walked in the room.
Right, no,
and then Reagan's
dope.
Like, no, we need to bring back the big dick swing in America.
Yeah, no, straight
and that's
up.
That's why everybody loves
it's so
him.
Crazy how we could only handle no big dick swinging for about 3 years before we said, no, we gotta swing this dick. And then we brought Reagan in for a long time.
Probably
for like 12 years.
What if you could
Reagan
change
in?
Hail to the Chief to like the Imperial March?
That'd be sweet. It's pretty similar.
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite. It goes down where Hail to the Chief goes up. Dun, 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 dun.
Right.
Yeah,
it really is. It's almost the opposite. It's the notes they weren't playing.
Wait, what's Hail to the Chief again? Oh, yeah, that is the exact same shit.
Holy shit. We're blowing this case wide open on the Film Drunk Broadcast.
That's some Led Zeppelin, Hail Satan shit right there.
Oh, fuck, we have a guest, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
So you did watch Wetlands.
Did we talk about that already?
Not yet, no, I was waiting until you got here.
Yeah, I just finished it, actually.
Okay, so worst ending ever, right?
What, the ending was different from the rest of the movie? It was pretty flat, the whole... It was Amelie, if Amelie were eating boogers and finger blasting herself the whole movie.
It was Amelie meets Portnoy's Complaint meets Boring.
This sounds amazing.
See, I thought it had... I really thought it was, it had a strong premise,
Wait, explain the premise to me.
That she's this chick who just doesn't care, and she's always like rubbing her pussy on things, and she's just, it's kind of punk rock, but not in a focused way. She's just kind of giving the finger to everything.
So it's a movie about a girl who just keeps rubbing her pussy.
Yeah, I mean,
well, a little bit, kind of.
I need to see this movie.
Here, let me read you. I'll read you the description. Wetlands takes place entirely in a German. Well, this is the book. Entirely in a German hospital room. The room is occupied by Helen Memel, the novel's 18-year-old narrator, who has been admitted with a self-inflicted injury. In the course of shaving her less talkative end, she managed
to
cut.
Did you almost just say asshole instead of less talkative end?
I did. Yeah.
How did that happen?
Because that's what they're talking about.
Why you just substitute that in your own brain?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's dope. I like that you have that ability.
This is the word they meant.
Yeah.
She managed to cut her anus with a razor. The wound festered, and now she needs an operation. And I did think one of the great lines in the movie was, "My ass injury developed a brimming blister, which is hanging out of my butthole like the neck skin of a tropical bird."
Sick.
It was slickly edited. There was some nice.
It was very MTV.
Yeah, it was very. It was very Dust Brothers Fight Club intro.
Right.
They even did the reverse thing where they zoom in. And there's all like the little pube lice eating the viruses or however nature works.
Do you
works.
See her actual pussy?
Yes.
Do you see her put her fingers in her pussy?
No.
I mean, you see her do it, but you don't see them going in.
Yeah. There's no.
But you probably did it as an actress, right?
So I had problems less that it was boring. Fine. Well, no, I guess my problems that it was boring too, but from a different angle.
Well, I did think it was too long, but I just sort of I liked the punk rock gross out stuff.
So
I like that.
So all right.
But I didn't like how there was like still a lot of magical realism and so many cathartic moments in water.
Yeah, true. It's very.
Oh, that's my world. Yeah. That's my least favorite.
But
thing.
Like, here's the thing. I felt the same way about this as Obvious Child, where if
I thought Obvious Child was way better. Well,
yeah, all right.
Obvious Child's way better. Yeah. I mean, this one was like doing gross out and trying to push the stylized stuff, and it was all just a bit much. But maybe I'm just getting old.
This one was more. I would say this one's more superficial, but they're both sort of like. If I'm not offended by what's going on and the characters in the movie aren't offended by what's going on and the movie itself isn't really making much of a statement about how offensive this stuff is, there's not really much there.
Yeah.
Well, right?
I kind of like that they were treating it like it wasn't offensive. They're just like, oh, yeah, she's a... Like they're kind of straightforward. They're like, yeah,
right.
She likes sex and she likes
but like
to talk
they,
about.
They loaded the movie so heavily with the stuff that you're supposed to be shocked at, like the dude's jerking off on the pizza. Like that was longer than it needed to be to get the point across. If it's just like about her and her desire to be sort of like controversial, I don't know. It's like
or the tampons.
Yeah. So they spent a lot of time on the stuff that they thought that you would be offended by without actually forwarding the rest of the stuff. So it's like if you remove all the stuff that they thought they were being offensive about, like there's not much left.
Fair. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. No magic cat.
But I was okay. So I thought.
Well, there was a lot of. But it was,
if it was all just stuff that was like kind of offensive, but borderline, I would have liked it because I like the idea that they made this movie with this really attractive girl who's kind of an idealized male fantasy, but also she like you know picks her vagina and eats it and stuff.
Whoa! I gotta see this movie.
I like that it's kind of pervert. I liked the idea of it being perverted without like a strong political agenda.
Yeah, it was too enamored with its own perversion. And it wasn't even that perverted. It's just like, look, it's childlike. It's like, hey, sometimes you eat some boogers.
Because they pushed the child like angle of it. Like they pushed all the her bonding with her friend and stuff. And I was like, I don't really need that so much.
So if you strip that stuff, there's nothing left.
Well, yeah, so maybe it's just like it's doing like a cutesy Juno buddy movie thing, but taking gross shit and not making it gross. So wonderful. That's fine.
Yeah.
I would have liked that.
No, I think that's what we're saying. And I'm like, great. That's 15 minutes of right. movie that Fair. I care about.
Yeah. Do you think this movie, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Cause I want to ask like, does this movie work without the protagonist being really hot? And I think the answer is no, And then my follow-up question is, like, does that matter? But that kind of only matters if there was, like, a strong political statement, which I'm not sure that there was.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, if the same movie didn't work with like, a less attractive protagonist, you're like, well, okay, that's not that strong of a political...
Yeah, but they didn't have much of a statement to make to begin with.
Right.
Well, was there some kind of parenting values thing we're supposed to get from this? Because I kind of glazed over after a while.
Yeah, that shit was tacked on as fuck.
Well, okay, so the parental angle is the other thing that I don't like about it, because I like the idea of this chick just being this punk rock booger eater, but then they sort of make it like she's a reactionary, like she's just doing this because her parents are mean to her. And it's like, well,
oh, they're divorced and it's hard.
Yeah. There was so many... When I was in college, goddamn, like the student films where they would have kind of, you know, a provocative premise like that, but then it would always come down to, but then my parents got divorced and it hurt me. And it's like, okay, come on. Like, half of our parents are divorced at this point. It's not, I don't know.
So Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars. But I'm just
I think he was dead when the movie came out.
He's definitely dead.
Well, there's a RogerEbert.com.
Right. He's not in charge. He doesn't still write the website
dead now.
From the grave.
So he doesn't.
Yeah, it's not him.
Well, according to Google, Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
Look, according to my subpar Googling skills.
No, that's what it says. It says
you got some Jack White Googling skills.
It says
right
there. Rotten Tomatoes, 89%. IMDb, 5.5 out of 10. Roger Ebert. 3 out of 4.
I looked it up, and it just said not worth it.
Yeah, right under that, right under...
Guacamole.
Roger Ebert, it says Metacritic.
Here's the fucked up thing. Netflix gave it a 4 or 5 stars for me.
What?
Yeah, like, you know, the reds are tailored to your previous viewing history, right?
Because that's the thing. As a premise, hell yeah, I want to watch a movie about a German chick who, like, rubs her vagina on dirty toilet seats.
And I think
but then when it ends, like, with them kissing in the rain... Yeah. And yeah, no, it's kind of like Cloud Atlas, where I liked the first 2/3 of the movie, and then the last third is so bad that it makes me hate the entire rest of it.
Here's the thing. What I think's happening in that algorithm was it saw me get, it saw me watch Willem Dafoe's penis get hammered through, and was like, oh, this guy's in some, he's like, oh.
Willem Dafoe's in this movie?
No, it's a separate movie. And it's like, this is this guy's thing, but a robot can't understand about a man is that once you see Willem Dafoe's penis get hammered through, you better fucking up your game, son.
Yeah.
Because that is the high watermark for watching people's dicks get hammered through.
Right. No, it was his balls, because then she jerked him off and he jizzed blood.
No, I thought it was like, because there's a hole in his dick now. That's what the
Are you guys talking about The Last Temptation of Christ?
No, Antichrist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boondock Saints. Yeah.
You bring out the garden shears to your clit, and that's fucking, that is setting the chalk line at yay high.
Well, I mean, the Scandinavians always do what the Germans do a little better.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are the French, like, it sounds like you need more of like an irreversible kind of, like a Gaspar Noé kind of thing.
Yeah.
And less of a female bonding, pussy rubbing toilet seat thing.
Yeah, there needs to be like a magic Wolverine that chews off her tits for Brett.
Yeah.
And then he chews off your tits and tells you why life is meaningless.
I'm a Wolverine. It's a parable.
So you didn't love it either, is what you're saying.
No. Okay. No, not so much. I watched an episode of Curb after that just to kind of freshen myself a little bit.
Just to bring it down?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there was any bringing down. I mean, again, I was expecting, I thought this would be something intense. And I mean, the only thing I really connected with was, you know, the hemorrhoid experience. Like, that's something I could relate to, because I'm not a grandpa either. But
you've had butt problems?
Yeah. Last year, I think I was too dehydrated or something. And, it hurts. I don't recommend it.
No, I've had fissures, and we had Pat Schumacher come on to talk about how he had to cancel his entire wedding.
Oh, yeah, because of his ass. What do you call it?
His ass.
Did he have? Was it a fistula, I think it was?
Yeah, something crazy where he was so much pain that they had to cancel. his wedding.
A destination wedding.
It was a destination wedding. Yeah.
So expensive.
And he tried to power through it, but it got to like the 2 days before, and he's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to stand. That's amazing. I want to hear. Oh, that was so amazing.
Did he end up getting married, like, on a pillow, or what happened?
No, they just postponed the wedding, and I actually it got real complicated. I forget actually what happened, but
there was like a surgery, and then there was complications to the surgery.
There was complications to the surgery.
Did he butt squat on the edge of the hospital bed?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Nurse.
We should have had Pat talk about a guest review by someone with butt problems to see what he thought about it.
Yeah, he's like, as someone who's had some traumatic ass experiences. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That just sounds like, oh man, I had some traumatic ass experiences. But you're like, no, I actually had some traumatic ass experiences.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go, you guys.
All right, bye.
I gotta head over to Doc's lab.
You can't plug it. They're not gonna hear this by the time you get there.
I gotta head over for 8 o'clock. Come tonight, which is now yesterday, to Doc's lab. And watch. All right, bye guys. Love
bye.
You.
Bye.
Brian, did you talk about President Taft's fist? He had a fistula too, I think, didn't he?
Oh my God, I couldn't find anything on hemorrhoids. I believe me, I looked for anything shit related or fart related or dick related. That I felt like that was my duty, right?
Yeah.
And
but it is your duty.
Duty, but there was nothing on hemorrhoids. So unfortunately, all I found with Taft was sleep apnea because I guess he was just such a fatty that he just like.
He got stuck in the bathtub too, right?
No, that never happened.
Oh really? Shit.
I know.
Was he bench pressed by Teddy?
Yeah, that happened.
But Teddy did used to do this thing where he would take people out to his estate and he would play a game.
We're going to hunt Taft. Run! Run, you fat tub-stuck son of a bitch! I don't drink!
They would strip him, and then he would have to run off in the forest like one of the creatures.
No, but they would pick a line. Like he would point one way. And they had to run across the grounds of his estate without turning. And there was like rivers and mountains and shit.
You gotta touch the buffalo when he goes through Golden Gate Park.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Touch the buffalo. Over or under. You got two choices. The buffalo's not moving. It's a large animal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think the movie was feminist?
What? I don't know.
I don't think it was much of anything.
Yeah. All right, that's fair.
I don't think it had a lot.
It could have been, though. I feel like it had potential.
I don't know.
I think Brett's kind of nailed it. It's just like young, cutesy, but with like an attempt to do some kind of garbage pail kid type thing.
Yeah.
Because you keep saying punk, but like as you said, but there was no real purpose behind the punk other than just kind of being a, just a slacker kid. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't think that there has to be a purpose behind punk. I kind of think it can just be like, yeah, look, here's some shit. Look, I shit myself, and I'm. You know what I mean?
Ooh, a dirty toilet bowl. I know just what to do.
Just go open mic it and just shit your pants.
No, I kind of think that there is a purpose to that in and of itself. Like, I don't think you have to be making a political statement when you're like making that sort of dirty vagina fucking like she like there is a purpose to that in and of itself without it having a. A specific political bent because everybody's like, oh, what are they flipping the bird to? And it's like, well, maybe they're just saying it feels good to flip the bird at stuff.
Yeah, that's why I included myself in the trifecta of I don't give a shit, right? Okay, like fair. The movie doesn't give a shit, the characters don't give a shit, and I don't give a shit. Like, this is obviously targeted for the third part, which is the viewer who gives a shit.
The viewer who wants to see an agenda of giving a shit within that stuff.
Or the people who weren't expecting it, who wandered into it dumbly. Like the people they try and trick with the obvious child promos where it's like, oh, it's a romantic comedy. Oh my God, it's about abortion. But like, if you don't give a fuck about abortion, then it is just a romantic comedy.
Right, but I like the idea that they're just treating it like a romantic comedy because
But like I don't want to spend a long time watching a romantic comedy. Like that's fair, not okay. That's not so if you remove the shock value of pitching it as one thing with shock value, then it's just that thing.
But that's more about the pitch than the thing, right?
Yeah, but what are you pitching this as? You read a little blurb about her butthole.
Yeah, it's more that I feel like it could have been something that it wasn't and it had potential as that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, so if obvious child is like what I think, is normalizing abortion as a thing that can exist in romantic comedies without being some kind of heavy, drama, then maybe this movie is normalizing pussy rubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or period hand touching.
It's kind of like face, you know what it is? It's kind of like, I like the idea that they're like, we're going to make a movie where you're going to fall in love with this like young girl protagonist who's saying how she wants five hobos to come in her mouth.
Yeah. But
which she actually says at one point.
Yeah. But
which again, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it is cheating that they made her super hot then.
Yeah. Huh. I like that it cheats in that way. I don't know. I did find like out of the whole movie, I think the biggest takeaway was like, oh, I really like this main girl. Carla Urie.
Yeah.
Did that actually make it into theaters, or was it just one of those festival things that people blogged about?
I think it made it into theaters in Germany and never quite made it here. Like, if it had a release at all, it was very small. Hmm. Did you see the 50 Shades of Grey?
I unfortunately have not made it to the theater yet for that one.
Why not? What were you thinking?
I know. Maybe I'll go this weekend. Did you see it?
No.
No.
It was released. Wetlands was released in how many theaters? Oh,
9.
One theater, and it made $60,000. So,
oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
that's not enough for one theater.
Yeah, worldwide it made $11 million. But
oh, okay. Yeah, I want you to pick your movies more carefully. I feel like I'm going to be dead any second now, and I can't be blowing fucking 2 hours on this kind of shit.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Do you blame me also, Brian? Oh, we lost him. Oh, he's coming
back. He's already dead.
He's in the machine.
Hi, Matt. Okay.
Okay.
So Brendan, I bet, feels real great about not having watched it.
Yeah, I might have to go back and watch it later.
Something to talk about. Just got pretty face, nice poopy butt.
I might have to check it out.
You guys want to hear this Toyota ad?
No. Sure.
I think Brett's going to love this one.
Damn it.
Can a truck make you more handsome?
Oh, yes. This is great.
More rugged? We came here to find out. We talked to real people. Not actors, including kids, mature people.
Is this fake?
Young single women.
This is real.
I mean, as far as I know, it's...
This is real?
I mean, they told me it's real, so it must be, right?
Who told you? Toyota?
Toyota. Or no, Chevrolet, sorry.
Chevrolet's owned by Toyota now?
It's a Chevy ad. I confused.
Oh.
Rich housewives. Guys with beards.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
We show them two pictures.
No,
of the same guy in the same location. The only difference? The vehicle behind him.
Which guy is more handsome?
Left. Driving the truck.
He just looks, you know, more.
Is Chevy the guys who are doing the like the Back in Black commercial? Where the guy, once some poor sad son of a bitch walks in because he drives a car like a fucking pussy to his office job, and then some other guy's like, I'm done with my office job because I leave work at 10, and he gets in his truck, it's like, Back in Black! Is that Chevy?
I don't remember.
Because that shit is sad as fuck.
Well,
it's like, oh, are you an urban dude? You better own a truck because you quit early. It's hard to park.
This is similar to that.
Yeah.
So bam.
Which man is sexier?
Truck. Yeah.
Which one of these two guys would you rather have date your daughter?
Is there a transformer there?
This guy is definitely the guy your mom wants you to marry, and this is the guy you're going to run off to and leave him to be with him.
That truck is going to protect my little girl, and I'm always concerned about getting her home safe.
Show me how a truck guy would shake my hands.
So
I knew this was going to bother you. That's why I wanted to play it.
The thing is, by playing this, you've let them win.
Okay.
Fair. Yeah. All right. You're complicit here.
Well, yeah.
You failed us.
Right.
Right. Because this is what
our massive audience is really going to move the needle for
even
Chevy.
Any comment on this is playing into whatever their viral crew had in mind, where they were like, look, this can be taken ironically or not. And either way, it's going to piss people off. Like, they've set this, do your parents know you're 7 gays situation up, where you're like, yeah, I watched the videotape. And then, like, you fall down the well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to let her out.
I know. I'm sorry. It just seemed like they took the idea of the focus group And they're like, instead of doing a focus group to see what people want, we're just going to have people
call you a faggot by proxy.
Yeah. We're going to have them tell you what you want because they already know what we're going to ask.
But.
So you want to like suppress this video, Brett, like it's ISIS or something?
Yeah,
like,
yes, absolutely. This video should be treated as a beheading video. Like it is pornography for the enemy that is used as a recruitment tool and to dishearten our troops. Yes, that is 100% accurate. Conversation over.
Oh.
Unless you're a fucking terrorist.
We definitely have like a German Shepherd dog. I mean, come on. Like a tarantula. A rattlesnake.
Yeah. Like American Eagle fucking flying around just clawing out the eyes of Afghanis. That's the kind of pet that guy owns.
But don't you think they're already just saying whatever the focus group guy wants to hear?
I don't think we shouldn't maybe not have focus group guys.
Also, if they were going to do like a true sort of... Well, right. The problem is, A, it's a focus group, but also... It's sort of the focus group is suggestive by the fact that you are holding the truck and the Prius or whatever that is side by side.
I think it's a Corolla.
Whereas if you took a control group to, you know, or like a group that just looked at the truck and described them, then a group that was uninfluenced by the two photos side by side, and you know,
I'm gonna make
so it's, the bias is already built in because you know when you walk in, you see a guy standing next to a truck and a guy standing next to it's like they're not. This isn't Ford or this isn't Toyota hoping to see what you think about the Prius. Yeah. It's not. You know what it is.
I understand that I'm a prick. And that it's awesome up here in my beautiful ivory tower with my beautiful ivory wife who can't move because she's made out of elephant tusk. But I'm going to get populist here for a second, and I'm going to say a focus group isn't a focus group until there's the focus group guy. And that these are just some people sitting around a table until some guy comes in and says, which picture do you want to fuck more? And that without that guy coming in, they're all pretty nice people. And that they don't have these ideas.
It is pretty populist, doesn't
it? Yeah, I know. It's unusual.
It's the suggestion.
It feels
that's
weird coming
saying.
Out of my mouth. That,
it's the implication.
Yeah. So maybe we don't have that guy come in. And maybe they just sit around the table and get bored. And then you pay him $5 a piece.
So before you bring up politics at like your Thanksgiving dinner with your family, your uncle's actually not an asshole?
Yes.
You're the asshole for... Hitting like for presenting that softball on the tee for him.
Yeah, because you know how he's gonna respond, or you don't, and you're interested to find out.
Like he knows the role he's supposed to play.
Yeah,
and he doesn't become that until you put the tee there.
Yes, identity is always a future movement towards a thing. There is no stable. You cannot be a thing. You can only become the thing.
Mm-hmm. And so then, solution should be for me to stop.
You gotta
going
kill
to
your uncle. I'm sorry. You gotta strangle him. You gotta get up. You got to get up over that table and you just got to like prevent him from speaking.
And if he tries to buy a Corolla, you just shoot heroin into his balls.
Yeah. Like an American Eagle as a pet.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense when you play it back.
But I just like the idea that they're like, oh, this guy is obviously cooler because his car's big.
But that's the sort of thing we're talking about. Like they've, they've got it.
What if everybody in the focus group was Howie Long?
Can they contain that much Howie Long in a room?
You use holograms.
He would just
maybe
overlap.
If there were like larger Howie Longs outside doing linebacker stuff to keep from getting out. Like you up the Howie Long ante,
right.
And just like they're just like fucking miking it. Mm-hmm. Just
you have Howie Longs defending the door to keep the
it's
other
like
Howie Long
in the ring. Yeah,
just your entire defense is built out of Howie Long, just preventing the smaller offensive Howie Longs from escaping.
I think we hit on something here.
We should focus group this.
Every truck comes with Howie Long.
How do you feel about that, pussy? Are you scared?
Are you fucking scared?
Are you scared like a city boy who can't drive a truck ride? Back in black! Like, who are they? Why would they go for the urban audience? Everyone who's lived in a city with an office job knows how hard it is to park it. Do you guys not know? Do you guys know how hard it is to park a truck?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Sucks.
I would never drive a truck in the city.
You can't back up that trailer?
You gotta leave the office at 10 p.m. and get fired.
Yeah. Bro, I mean, you're a fucking pussy if you ever have to learn how to parallel park.
Look, hey, bro, I gotta go blast some AC/DC because I can't find a spot. I guess I quit. Back in black. You're unemployed. Because you don't know. I guess it's maybe he was working there all night, and the guy's just showing up to work, and he's just like, I have to live here because of my truck. I sleep under my desk. This is my home and I hate
it. That's why there's a bed. There's a bed in the truck so you can sleep in it.
Yeah, because you don't, I mean, what's he, he's either there for half an hour or he was
the
there.
The truck has a step so you can get into your bed easier.
Where's he going? You're just going to another office.
He's got to find a cinder block. I'm just saying we've reached the postmodern truck commercial time.
Yeah, it is exactly that.
Where the truck commercials are actually referencing truck commercials at this point.
Here's the thing. I think Bakun from Weird Twitter said it best, where you need to cultivate selective incuriosity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say, what is Drake? Who is Serial?
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to keep fucking saying that shit.
Yeah.
Because the commodity of our times is attention. And the moment you think about this for more than a second, you've already lost to ISIS. That's your American Eagle getting beheaded because of this truck.
Oh man. I feel sad now.
Yeah, that's the appropriate feeling after watching that commercial.
Everything he says makes me sad, but he's right.
Yes. I have an ivory wife.
She's gonna get gored on the way home out of your truck. Brendan, doesn't that make you want to buy a truck though?
Yeah.
Just hearing Brett
makes
talk
me feel like
that.
A small man.
Yeah. Just hearing Brett talk like that and his anti-American rhetoric.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a truck to make up for it.
You should.
I should.
Brian, have you ever owned a truck?
SUV, does that count?
Yeah. No.
Then no.
I had one.
No, I've only ever owned a Volvo station wagon a Volvo sedan, and my current car. So
I owned a Chevy truck. It had a sweet boom, like a sweet subwoofer in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that thing was sweet. Yeah, you had it in San Diego, right?
Yeah. Didn't you think I was more of a man when I drove that?
I did. Yeah. Then you got an Audi. You sold out and got an Audi.
I really did.
Yeah. And now you got a bike. Now look at you. Sucker.
See, I'm like a...
I would love to know what a focus group would say about you.
I'm a cautionary tale for higher education and how it's going to turn you all liberal and ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I think we got somewhere tonight.
I think we had a breakthrough.
I think we really did have a breakthrough.
About focus groups.
Did you have any focus groups with the book? Like, did you A-B test it with anybody?
All the time, yeah. I mean, I was going to send you chapters to edit, but I figured, like, you wouldn't have done it.
I would have. How dare you?
I mean, I sent a lot of stuff I wrote to friends, and then I also tried to figure out, like for the end of it, I wanted to figure out if I could do some kind of Moneyball version of, like, figure out who partied the most and who partied the least. Like, I saw, I think Thrillist did, like, they ranked, like, presidents from how they partied on President's Day yesterday, and the list is kind of arbitrary, but I really wanted to figure out like a point score for like how to, you know, credit someone for their drinking or their sex or whatever. And I just end up like I couldn't figure it out. It's like a really impossible thing to do.
Yeah.
I was definitely bothering. Like there was an email thread that was going on for about 2 months, and eventually everyone was like, "Fuck off, Brian." But
used to work at BuzzFeed. Did you not have any colleagues that could help with that? Do you still know people there?
No, I don't really talk to anyone there. I mean, I don't think I did a good job making friends there, to be honest with you.
Did they fire you via cat GIF?
They fired me. No, there were no gifts. They did fire me, though. No, they took me into the room, and, you know, I just kind of hung my head down and said, I know I'm an asshole, and then I left.
What did they say? I mean, what was the explanation?
Oh, I mean, it just wasn't a fit, you know?
Right.
And you know what? It's the truth. I mean, I can't – how – you know, I'm the bad guy. I'm not in a good mood, like, in an office that – where you're like –
I just can't suck the way you need me to suck.
Yeah, I can't do it. But there are people there that I think like it. You know, I mean, there must be. It's a huge organization, right?
Especially well, now aren't now. They? Now aren't they yeah. trying to distance themselves from all the stuff that made them a huge company in the first place?
That's what you got to do. You got to go low early and then pretend you never did any of that. That's the internet new media and, well, I mean, pretty much anything.
Oh, are you talking about like the stuff that their PR is putting out now about like, hey, we're doing new journalistic standards and blah, blah, blah?
Then the editor-in-chief write a whole article that was like, why we don't do clickbait.
Yeah, right. But even though, like, despite the fact that we've been building up for years, like ripping off photos from everybody, but now that we got all our money, we're like legit now. So forget all the other shit we were doing.
We invented clickbait, but we don't do it anymore because we have lots of money.
Here's 10 reasons why. Look, trucks are awesome. Driving trucks feels good.
I would be surprised if there's not an advertorial on BuzzFeed called like 10 reasons why trucks make you more handsome, sponsored by Chevy. So you went from BuzzFeed.
I think it would have to be negative. It'd be like 10 reasons why your dick is small because you drive a Ford Focus.
Here's the magic. You can do both.
Yeah.
10 gifts on how to rub your pussy on the toilet.
Multivariate testing.
So did you go straight from BuzzFeed to Death and Taxes?
No. So let's see. I was fired at BuzzFeed in February of 2012. And that was like 2 months after they brought Ben Smith on, and they had all this press about like the, you know, this VC funding, the first round of VC funding, like big funding. And so I think because of that, like there were a lot of places that I just like consulted for, mm-hmm. like either smaller publishers or larger ones that were like, oh yeah, the internet, that's right. and so they just like paid me to help them kind of figure that out.
You gotta click. You gotta use your fingers and click on it.
I mean, I guess you're right.
It's not called the internet. Look, you're going to go to your computer, and it's not called the internet. It's going to be like Internet Explorer or Firefox. That's you go inside the computer.
You're going over to your like grandma's house to help her fix her whatever.
Yeah.
So what was your where did you come from before that?
Before BuzzFeed, I worked at a magazine called Hebe for about 4 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
And then and we folded that because apparently print doesn't work or something. And we also didn't pay any attention to the internet. We were just making Jew jokes. I mean, every month it was just sort of like, who can we get to pose, you know, inside of an oven in our magazine?
Yeah.
And we actually, one of our editors, I remember like walked up to Jeffrey Ross in like a Jewish deli in LA and was like, no polish whatsoever. And he's just like, hey man, hey, just come on. Just get inside of an oven for us. Jeffrey Ross is like, you know, he turns to him, he's like, dude, I'm on Dancing in the Stars right now. You know?
Didn't someone did some sort of pictorial like that that they kinda got crap for, didn't they?
Yeah, Roseanne. That was I'd been emailing with her for, you know, 6 or 8 months going back and forth about doing something with us, and then we actually were doing the Germany issue. This was summer of 2009. And she emailed me back and was like, I want to be Hitler, you know, exclamation point. And so somewhere along the way, I wasn't there for the actual shoot, but somewhere along the way, it turned into a housewife Hitler taking these burnt gingerbread men out of the oven. And I mean, it was kind of an awesome spread, you know, and she was fun to work with and everything. And I guess within the context of like a magazine called Hebe that's full of Jew jokes, you know, it's perfectly fine. But like, again, like I said, we didn't know shit about the internet. So when you just see that photo by itself floating around, then like, I guess a lot of people got really upset. And then I got this email from Roseanne one morning going, hey, ABC radio's like, you know, calling my people. What am I supposed to tell them? What's going on right now?
Do you think that the internet? Okay, so because I think I came out of the same school where, like, you know, really liking the sort of alt weekly publications where you could do satirical stuff like that. And then it seems like the internet kind of killed context in that way, where like it used to be, if your publication was known for that, doing that sort of stuff, it was like, all right, well, yeah, we get it. It's like it makes sense in context. But then the internet came along and you could just like find that picture on Google image search and it sort of killed that. No?
Yeah. But I think social media did it more than the internet, because I mean, if you go back and look at, you know, blogs in the mid 2000s, even if you look at say Gawker, you know, it was kind of within context. Each post was kind of connected to the next. There was a narrative there and there were like characters that they would follow, and there would be, you know, stories that they would be followed. And now, you know, every post is just kind of an orphan that you know, because of Facebook's just like got all of us bent over. We're just like, all right, let's just fire up the next one. And I hope someone shares it and, you know, whatever, we'll get our fucking quota in for the month. So,
right. It's like, it's kind of what BuzzFeed's doing, where there used to be a narrative and now it's just you're throwing out the ones that you know are going to get shared and hoping that those are going to pay for the ones that you actually want to do.
Yeah. And more than that, it's attribution and context that have both suffered. So you lose authorship the moment you share a GIF or whatever. Like,
right.
Something that took a creative effort that you don't want to be for free without credit. Like, I think that, you know, I'm like EFF subscriber. Like, I think data should just be out there. Like, you should make stuff and then let it float away. But like, there needs to be some compensation for the amount of time you took creating the thing. And I don't think we're there yet. And like, the fact that these distribution channels are that they're distribution channels and not content providers.
Yeah.
Like, the fact
not
that
not authorship.
Yeah. You, the moment you can't contain your watermark or like your link back to you in the GIF, it's gone forever and it doesn't belong to you. Like, it's not the death of the author. It's like the active hunting and killing of the author. It's like the most dangerous game with authorship. Mm-hmm. Like, not only do you lose the context of the thing, like, which you probably lose anytime you engage in creative endeavor. Like, someone's going to see that and they're going to bring their own shit to that and it's not yours anymore. And that's like the gamble you accept. But this is different, where it's like, look, I never wanted it to be presented in a list of 10 things where that suddenly changes both the context and doesn't give me the chance to say that's not how I wanted it presented. It's like Jack White screaming to no one about his guacamole right. recipe instead of saying anything about music at all. Like, he's concerned about losing.
We're all cheering. It's funny because we're all cheering for this model to die, I think. Like, yes. Anybody that's a content creator is sort of like, please, this clickbait
can
model.
Can we have the next thing?
Yeah, can we have the next thing? But what is the next thing? Is it a subscription model? Are we going to have like an HBO for the internet somehow?
I mean, like the patronage stuff, which I wish I had got on before Patreon, because that's not the right way to do it. But like, I think there's an opportunity to support voices. Like, I think you could build up a living with a fan base. Like the Perry Grip style, wave the cheese in front of the right hole thing. The problem is you're never going to get rich doing that, because the only way you get rich is appealing to everyone. And the best way to appeal to everyone is take everyone's stuff for free and then present it to them as like a whole without context. Like, your goals are diet. Like, the system is opposed to you as a creator. Like, you will fail if you try and be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not. I mean, I don't know anything, obviously, tonight. But like,
but
I think
you've
at
been
some
there.
Point,
what do you think? What's the next thing?
I have no idea. I just remember the feeling at some point of being like, "That's it. I got to stop dicking around, and I'm just gonna go hide for 2 years and write a book, and then that'll be fulfilling." I don't know, because you sit there and go, "All right, well, so no one's making money on blogs." I can't imagine that advertisers can be happy with banners on websites. That doesn't seem to be the thing either. I'm not going to crack the case for you tonight.
Right. Where did you come? I mean, where did you come from before Heeb?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
I worked at an alt weekly there, and I definitely didn't know about the internet then. But I had a MySpace, and so yeah, moved to New York in 2007 and went to work at Heeb in 2007, and then we folded in 2010, and then before I went to BuzzFeed in 2011, there was a few months where a guy named Nitzan Zimmerman took me under his wing at the Daily What, and sort of taught me what the internet was, or at least like how to aggregate like legitimately.
He's the guy that does like Secret and stuff, right?
So yeah, he was poached by Gawker eventually, and then he did Whisper.
Whisper, that's right.
He ran Whisper, but now he's at the Hill now. But he knows what he's doing.
So but, you were a Texas Jew.
I guess. I was bar mitzvahed, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Well, I mean, you worked at Heeb.
I worked at Heeb, that's true.
I mean, you have to have your bona fides, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm a legit Jew at this point. But like, you know, you can do whatever you want with Israel, it's fine.
I mean, I don't personally have control over what we do with Israel. I don't know what my move would be.
Theme park?
Yeah, right. I did like Corolla's idea of moving it to Baja California.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that's a desert too, and Mexico, like, they need Jews, and there's no, like, Arabs around to try and shoot rockets at you there.
Yeah. It's lobster. You got that. Lobster? Spiny lobster?
Well, no, shellfish, man.
Oh, what?
Ruined that. Yeah, we're not going to crack that case tonight either. You know, we tried to figure out how to fix the internet and what to do with the Israel-Palestine situation. I think the best we can say is that...
Trucks are fun to drive.
Trucks are fun to drive. Brian's book about presidents is good to read if you want to read about presidents partying.
Yeah.
And Matt Lee makes loud sex noises.
Yes.
That's what we got through tonight. You heard that episode last week, I'm told.
Yeah. I might have skipped that part, though. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, I got busy. I did something else. Oh, I think like the morning zoo had to call for a pre-recorded thing or something like that. And I listened to as much as I could, and I really missed it.
I won't mince words. This podcast is way too long.
This one that we're doing now?
No, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Just
all,
in general.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
And then you ask the listeners, you're like, hey, should we make it shorter? They're like, no, I'll make it super long. And then, but that's a self-selecting group that actually wants to hear you talk.
I think I've actually made this argument where there's like, everyone's like, I have a 3-hour commute each way and I need the Film Drunk Broadcast. It's like, okay, we're taking like 3 people who really desperately need this to be longer.
Take these 6 people to the promised land of content.
Everyone else is like, oh, God damn it. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had fun.
Like all of us now.
Thanks for coming on.
Are we done?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sorry if I was a little drained or whatever, but you know, next time if we can talk about Bill Cosby or something, I'd be
for sure.
I'll be.
Are you personal friends?
Yeah, he's my uncle.
Okay.
Are you gonna write Party Like Bill Cosby? Because I think we all know how that one ends.
It's a dark tale.
Right. Anything else to plug? Where can people find you other than on Amazon?
Go to Amazon for the book or partylikeapresident.com if you don't know where Amazon is. And I'm on Twitter at Brian Abrams if you want to, troll me with anything, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon?
Jew jokes.
All right. Well, Brian, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And feel free to email us, listeners, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for listening. And until next week, good night and good chins.